Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading from the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3. And our focus this morning is actually going to be on verse 15. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, how joyful it is for you to gather your people to hear the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to strengthen our faith in Jesus, and may that faith overflow, as always, in love toward all people. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The season of Christmas, if you want to call it, is full of times of joy, right? Or they should be. You know, there's lots of joyful activities going on, but I can think of one particular experience in which you're just like, oh, this is so joyous. And that is a public lighting of a Christmas tree, right? This is where you either like see it, like maybe, you know, like Rockefeller Center, you know, where they light up the Christmas tree there, or even locally around here, you know, the big, huge tree is right there, and they decorate it with all kinds of lights, and people are gathering from around, and they're singing carols, you know, they're singing like Joy to the World, and then finally it's like one, two, three, and then they light up the tree, and everyone's just like starts cheering, and it's joyous. It truly is a joyous occasion. But it's not only joyous, it is completely ironic. Yes, it is. Because all these things are happening in the midst of a world that is full of darkness and fear. Yeah, this tree suddenly lights up, but literally right down the street, there's someone with full of darkness and dark thoughts, dark intentions. And then people are singing, you know, like Joy to the World, but there are people all over the world that they're not singing at all. In fact, they're kind of hiding away because they're afraid of the things that are going on in the world, the violence, the illness, broken relationships, all the things that they're afraid of. People are gathering together to light up this Christmas tree, but it's also being done in the midst of people who are scattered away from others because they're afraid of them. It's a joyous occasion, but it's right in the middle, in the midst of darkness and fear. So that kind of describes what's going on here in our text here, because God's people are in the midst of so many things that they are terrified of. And, you know, we've kind of unpacked this a little in the past few weeks. God's people, they're afraid of these enemy nations. They're afraid of these huge armies and bloodthirsty warriors and kings that are coming for them. And there's going to be bloodshed. They're going to overrun them. People are going to die literally in the streets of Jerusalem. And those who survive, oh, they're afraid they're going to get shipped off. They're going to be packed up, sent off into exile in a foreign land, and they don't know if they're even going to come home again. But as much as they're afraid of these things, what God's people, what they're really afraid of is that the Lord is doing all of this. He is the one sending these enemies, these enemy nations to overcome them, to conquer them. He is punishing them for their idolatry, for their rebellion against him. Just they're saying, we don't want you, we're going after this. He's punishing them for the wickedness that they are practicing, their own bloodshed among their own people. In fact, earlier on in this prophecy from Zephaniah, in chapter 1, verse 12, you can actually look at it, the Lord is depicted as walking through the dark streets of Jerusalem, holding a lantern, sweeping it back and forth, looking for more bodies to destroy. That's how angry our Lord is. And that is how much the people are fearful. But despite all of these things that make them afraid, God's people can actually rejoice. They can rejoice because this text drops right into the midst of their fear, full of the Lord's promises. The Lord promises that he's going to take away their judgments. He's no longer going to punish them for their sin. He's going to save them from their sin. And furthermore, he promises that he will clear away your enemies. Yes, he sent the enemy nations to punish his people, but now he's going to punish the enemy nations. He's going to get rid of them, break their yoke forever. He's going to come and he's going to gather all of his people from the four corners that have been scattered. He's going to gather them all in one people and he's going to change them. They're no longer going to be sinner, they're going to be saint. They're no longer going to be evil, they're going to be good. And he is going to make them rejoice because of everything that he is doing. They were supposed to rejoice. They could rejoice because the Lord had actually come into their midst and they never had to fear evil again. So the prophecy of Zephaniah ends with this text, ends with rejoicing. But can you and I join in with them? How can you and I possibly rejoice when we are in the midst of all these things that make us afraid? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I know Pastor Mark, a few sermons back, he talked about a list of things that people are afraid of, you know, afraid of heights, afraid of spiders, afraid of the number 13. He even mentioned one that I was like, he had never heard of it before. I didn't even know that was something you could be afraid of. You know, there's so many things that you could answer when you're asked, what are you afraid of? You know, if you asked me, I would say, I'm very afraid of what the Bears are going to do in the off season. Very afraid. But to kind of help us focus a little bit more here, we look at what the Lord promises. You shall never again fear evil. We do fear evil. We fear the evil that threatens us. We are afraid that someone is going to walk into a school or a workplace and start shooting. We're afraid that all we're going to do is just breathe. And next thing you know, we're very sick indeed. We're afraid of we don't know if it's going to happen. We don't know if someone's going to break and enter. Someone's going to steal our car, steal our possessions. We're afraid of that kind of evil, aren't we? But, you know, we're also afraid of the evil that people can do that maybe is not so violent. We're afraid of those words, that's it, I'm done with you. We're afraid, I don't know how we're going to be able to pay that. So many things that threaten our security, these evil things. But we are also very afraid of the evil inside of us. It often looks like this. I never thought I would be capable of that. I never thought I would think what I just thought about that person. I never thought I would actually say that. I would gossip about them, that I would slander them on social media or write to their face or to other people and destroy their reputation. I never thought I would do that. I can't believe I just did that. And you're afraid of the evil inside you. But see, here's the thing. Whatever we're afraid of, we have to remember the words that the Apostle John says in his first letter. Fear has to do with punishment. We are afraid of punishment by God. We may not claim it outright, but we are afraid that God is punishing us, that he is going to let us have it for evil. We're afraid of all of these things. And we're afraid of them because they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They're unknown. We can't overcome them. We can't overpower them. There's no reasoning with all of this evil. So how can we possibly rejoice when it appears our judgments is still there? How can we possibly rejoice when we are still in the midst of spiritual enemies that attack us on a constant basis? How can we possibly rejoice when we are still in the midst of all of this fear and all of this evil? There was a boy that was being bullied. Typical, you know. He was in first grade. The bullies were in fourth grade. They'd do the typical stuff. They'd taunt him. They'd tease him. They'd push him and shove him. They'd take things from him. He was terrified of them. But he was also embarrassed, you know, and he didn't really want to say anything until one morning his older brother, oldest brother, who was in eighth grade, noticed his little brother was not so right. He's like, what's going on? And he broke down. He started crying. I'm going to move up a little. He broke down. He started crying. And he was just telling them everything. And his oldest brother said, don't worry. Everything will be all right. So after school that day, of course, they force him into around the building where nobody else is, and they're just, again, teasing him, taunting him, threatening him, shoving him around, when all of a sudden, behind them, they hear, and they turn around, and there is the brother saying, you really want to do that? And boy, they took off. They were like, whoa, we're out of here. The little kid was just like, oh, wow, that was great. I knew it. They're scared of you because you're so much bigger than them. And his brother said this. He said, you know what? You're right. I am bigger than them. But there's something even scarier than that. Oh, yeah, what's that? It's because I love you, little bro. Brothers and sisters in Christ, into the midst of everything that makes you afraid, the Lord promises, I will turn your fear into joy. And how is that possible? Because out of his unfathomable love for you and me, the Lord comes into the midst of everything that you and I are afraid of. The Lord is in your midst as that baby born in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord is in your midst, and he has taken away all of your judgments. He has taken away all of your sins. He has taken all of your sin and evil onto himself at the cross, and he died under its weight. The Lord is in your midst. He has cleared away all of your enemies, such as the world that wants nothing more for you to give in to your evil impulses, and Satan, who we really should fear, but we don't, because even though he's pointing at us and saying you don't deserve any of God's love, the Lord is there, risen and ascended and holding on to you and saying, back off. This is the one I love more than anything else. The Lord is in your midst. He is rejoicing over you because you are now his. He is quieting you with his love. And he is exulting over you because you are now his forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not fear. Rejoice. The King is in your midst. Well, how is he in our midst, Pastor, when we are still in the midst of all of these things that we are truly afraid of? Evil, our sin, and our spiritual enemies. How is he in our midst? Well, as I was preparing this message, for some reason, the Holy Spirit brought a memory up, a very formative memory up. And I reflected upon it, and then all of a sudden, something that I hadn't noticed before, it just hit me. It was back in my seminary years. And I was assigned to go to a nursing home that was staffed by a Lutheran chaplain. And his instructions for us were this: go to the rooms, introduce yourself, and offer to read scripture, pray with them, talk with them, or if they don't want anything, just sit there for a few minutes with them. And then you may go to the next room. So the very first room I went to was a woman lying on a hospital bed, clearly dying. And I was like, okay, here we go. I introduced myself and I sat down and said, I'd like to read some scripture for you, and I'd like to pray for you. But this woman was dying. I mean, her eyes were just glazed over. Her mouth was open. Her breathing was very labored. So I thought, what am I going to do? Well, all right, let's start with something familiar. How about Psalm 23? You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. And, you know, I just was reading it. Until I got to, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And this woman who was just staring, I was like, she's not even hearing this. I don't even know what I'm doing. Suddenly her hand like shot out and grabbed mine, gripped it hard, and she started moaning. And I was like, what is going on? Is she all right? Is everything all right? But then I realized she was rejoicing because it was Psalm 23. She recognized those words. Now, that's what I first thought when I remember this moment. But now, as I'm reflecting on it, it hit me like a ton of bricks. The reason she shot out and grabbed my hand and started moaning was not only because she recognized the words, she recognized the Lord. The Lord was there in those words.
guiding her through the valley of the shadow of death unto her eternal rest, which she received 15 minutes after I left her room. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice. The King is in your midst through his word and through his people. When you are baptized and you hear those words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the King is in your midst. He is right there with you, forgiving all your sin. When you hear the good news, when you actually hear these words, your sins are forgiven, the King is in your midst, saying to you, I love you, I have you, I'm never going to let you go. When you hear the words spoken over bread and wine, this is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin, the Lord, the King, is right there holding you tight, saying, this is my love and grace for you. And whenever God's people have any opportunity as the Spirit leads them to just simply bring good news of Jesus to people and encouragement to them, the Lord is right there in the midst, rejoicing over you, quieting you with his love right then and there. What a joyous occasion. Even as joyous as lighting up a Christmas tree in a dark world. But you know why it's joyous. Because the people are singing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Rejoice. The King is in your midst. As that baby in the manger, a mighty one to save. And he comes with this promise that everything that you and I are afraid of will be gone forever. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that is enough to turn any fear into joy. Amen.